couple things before you start asking questions.
A little wet here.
Yesterday, the question was asked, how good is this draft? And I said, there's no All-Stars. It was a little bit, probably a little bit tough on the kids in this year's draft. I think it's a good draft. I think it's a deep draft. Can I look at this draft and say, that guy is a 5-year, 10-year All-Star? No. And that's kind of what I meant. I hope, especially at 12 where we are, that he is an All-Star. But if you look at the league, who would have thought, what was he, 4 or 5 years ago, Jimmy Butler was drafted at the end of the first round?
He's an All-Star.
Klay Thompson, we had an idea. But Jimmy Butler is a prime example. He's an All-Star, last guy drafted in the first round. So there is a possibility that there is an All-Star in this draft. We're trying to find it. We don't know where it is. But again, I can't look at this draft and say there is a definite guy. Okay.
Yeah, you said superstar, so I mean, that's a little bit of difference.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell that anyway.
In terms of today's workout, as one of the coaches said, it was one of the most intense, well-paced early workouts he's ever seen. So we were extremely happy with the way the players came in today, and they fought through the altitude, they fought through being tired, they communicated with each other, they played hard. We were extremely happy with the way that the workout went. Again, as yesterday, there are a couple of intriguing players in this workout that we had. Again, I'm not going to give names. So the guys played hard, they shot it pretty well. Not great, but shot it pretty well. But they competed for the whole hour that they were on the court. So we're happy.
When you look at guys like Holmes and Atkins and Price, I mean, those are guys that are really on the radar. So in that sense, with the seniors in this workout, is this one of the more competitive workouts in terms of talent that you brought in early on?
Yeah, and when I had looked at trying to put together two workouts and the guys I was going to be able to get in, I purposely tried to make this one the best one. And fortunately, I was able to do that. And I'm not taking any credit on that because it's all up onto the players and the coaches on the court. Again, talking with some of the coaches, they did not have to egg these guys on, push them to play better and play harder. It was all natural, which is a great way to have a workout. It was good. It was a really good workout.
Atkins is one of the top defensive players in the entire country. How difficult is it for guys like that to make that transition defensively into the league? What's the biggest thing that they need? What's kind of a wake-up call?
For him to make it, he's got to get the opportunity. That's the biggest thing. Because, a lot of people, and not necessarily those within the NBA, look at offensive stats. And analytically, he won't look good because of that. There are teams, franchises, there are coaches that look at defense hard. And he will have that opportunity to showcase his skills defensively. And knowing that, you're going to have to work with him offensively.
When you bring a player like Jackson as a father who's been successful in the league, is it hard to differentiate them? I mean, do you hold him to a higher level or standard than perhaps other guys that don't have that?
I know, and in this workout, Shannon Scott is Charlie Scott's son also. So we had two former NBA legends in our workout, sons in their workout today. So, no, I don't hold them to their fathers. They're their own people. I look at them as Trayvon Jackson and Shannon Scott and not Jimmy Jackson and Charlie Scott.
Are there benefits, though, to having that background as far as, I guess, just knowledge of the game and other little intangibles?
You would hope that there are benefits. But the benefits would be how much time has the father spent with the son and taught him and worked with him. If the father doesn't have the time to do that, no, there's no benefit to it.
How much weight do you put on a guy that's made such a deep run in the NCAA tournament like Trayvon Jackson to get that kind of experience? Obviously, it helped Gordon Hayward when he got here. And I mean, do you take that into account?
Well, you always look for guys who are winners. And Trayvon's done a great job of helping his team win in his 4 years, not just this past year, even though he got hurt. So you always look for winners. Does it, again, you weren't here yesterday, I said about the 500-piece puzzle.
Yeah.
That's a piece.
Are you surprised by guys' size when you see him up close and personal for the first time like this?
Not really. Again, some of the guys I have not seen play live, especially the guys who went to Portsmouth. But we had people at Portsmouth, and I trust their judgments. So they tell me how big they are, if they don't think they're as tall as they are, or as wide as they are, or as long as they are, or if they are longer or taller than what is published in terms of height, weight, and wingspan. So am I surprised? Sometimes I do get surprised, but most of the time, no.
Are you any of these guys that were in the workout today, are they going to be in Chicago next week?
I don't know for sure. I haven't asked them. I haven't seen a list from Chicago yet.
Do you like the way they're doing combine now, where a lot of guys are being forced to do 5-on-5?
I will hold off on that to see who's going to be doing 5-on-5.
Yeah, well, hearing that like 30 guys are doing metabol only, and like the other 50 guys, they can't accept their invitations unless they stipulate to play in 5-on-5.
So it's up to 30 now, huh?
Yes.
Well, again, I'll hold off judgment.
Generally speaking,
I don't want to get fined anyway.
What is your focus as far as positions go during this draft, pre-draft process?
In terms of playing positions?
In terms of what you guys think you need right now.
You know what? I try to bring in at least two positions per draft, per workout, maybe three positions. So do we put a priority on a certain position? No, we want to look at all positions.
Is this draft strong in any position?
Depends on where you're talking about strong. Early, in the lottery area, I think, in the top half of the first, I think it's fairly strong with fours. I think later in the draft, it could be some more wings and point guards. So it depends on where you're talking.
This isn't draft-related, but Rudy Gobert...
Oh, well, I don't need to answer that.
Rudy Gobert was named, finished third in voting for most improved player. What kind of improvements have you seen him make since you first ran into him and maybe watched video or saw him play?
Well, I was fortunate to see him play over in France. He came in here and just wowed us with his workout pre-draft. The improvement has been outstanding. I think it's ahead of the curve that we had for him. And he still has a long way to go still. He can still improve a lot more. So we're looking forward to getting back. The coach is looking forward to getting back this summer and working with him again and see, how much more improvement he has in his game.
What do you remember about that draft process of getting Rudy, especially trading for that draft pick? And what was that conversation like? Help me out, I guess, with some of the context there.
Well, Dennis and Kevin do a great job, and now Justin with us will be doing a great job in terms of getting on the horn and talking to teams and figuring out who they might be taking and whether or not we can move to get a particular player at that position, at that spot in the draft. And they did their homework that night, knowing that we had an opportunity to get Rudy, and he pulled the trigger.
Was it something that came together that night, or was it kind of a contingency that, you...
That one I don't know for sure, but for the most part it's one that that comes together that night, but is put into motion maybe earlier.
Did that Kevin Trevor Booker around? I mean, did he get out there with these guys? Did he talk to the guys at all?
He came in and talked to guys. He's not supposed... He can't get out and play with them. That's against the NBA rules. But he was walking through to go...
He just walked in, actually, once you guys were...
So...
I didn't see him in the
press. I do have one more. trying to bring in numerous positions when you bring in for the workouts. How do you decide which guys to bring in? Do you have an idea of, hey, I'd like to see this guy compete against this guy, or I'd like to see this type of guy compete against this type of guy? Or, as far as the individual?
In a perfect world, yes. I would try to... put this guy against that guy in a workout with this guy and that guy. But again, dealing with agents, it's again a puzzle trying to put together a workout. So I try. I'm not overly successful all the time, but I try for the most part.
But agents, for agents who are kind of this level player who, you know, it's questionable whether or not they're going to be drafted, is it easier for you to work with them and kind of get those sort of matchups that you want?
Those who are probably on the fringe of being drafted, yeah, it's a lot easier because they're trying to get out in front of teams. It's more the tough part is more the lottery type guys, or even the first round guys. Even if you're at 24, trying to get guys in that particular range to work out against each other, and whether or not agent wants them to work out against another player with a different agency.
Are you guys in position to go BPA, or do you have a specific
batting practice? What
best player available, or you guys, you know, have that specific need? I know that you mentioned that you need shooting, but just what's the mindset at 12?
The mindset of 12 is the same as the mindset of 1, 2, or 3. You get the best available player. You don't want to go positional. As Kevin always said, you don't want to go positional like Portland did with Sam Bowie and leave Michael Jordan on the board.
BAP, so. Not BPA.
Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
Nice biases for the scouts. I mean, do you try and get a lot of guys looking at it because you understand certain guys may be partial to shooters or partial to athletes? Or
you mean when I bring in guys for workouts?
Just in general, just as you've done this.
Or
do you recognize your own biases?
Oh, I have biases, yes. but I try to look past them and get a consensus from other people that scout and coaches who maybe look at some synergy and Dennis. So, yeah, I definitely have biases, but I overlook my biases. I just try to get the best players that I think have an opportunity to showcase their skills in front of the coaches and Dennis and when Kevin shows up.
Do you lose sleep over? I mean, obviously, there's always guys who come in and surprise them. You talked about Jimmy Butler that nobody realized. Or is it one of the things you say, you know what, we were prepared, we did what we thought, and nobody could have expected that?
I lose sleep by being prepared. I don't lose sleep by not getting guys in.
Okay. Wow, that's profound.